Thank you. This is a joy, blessing, a privilege, and an honor to be able to be here another Saturday afternoon. We are thankful for the Lord loving us and having mercy upon us and giving us a free gift of eternal life. If it weren't free, nobody's worthy to obtain it. We are sinners, shaped in iniquity and born in sin. Man in his very best state is altogether vanity. There's nothing good about man nor in man, that is, in our flesh. The Apostle Paul said, there dwelleth no good thing in me, that is, in my flesh. Our flesh is depraved. We're sinners by birth, and of course, if we continue in sin and choose to rebel against our conscience, God gave us an awareness of good and evil, right and wrong. We have that. Every man has that. That's the image of God. One chooses to run in sin and rebel against God, and God deal with their hearts. Sin's imputed, and of course, they're guilty before God as a sinner. If they die in sin, they wind up dying and tasting an eternal death, a second death, and an unquenchable fire. But you don't have to go there. Jesus died in your place. The Bible said, he that knew no sin became sin for you and I, that might be made the righteousness of God in him. And you're justified not by any good thing you've done. We're sinners. We can't justify ourselves. There's nothing we can do to obtain this wonderful salvation. Salvation is the gift of God. It's free. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation has already been paid for in full. When he died at Calvary and gave up the ghost, he took away that in between God and man and nailed it to his cross. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He rent the veil from top to bottom. That separated the holy place from the holiest of holies. Only the high priest went one time a year, the Day of Atonement, of course not without blood, his own sin and the sin of the people. But when he only entered in one time because he knew no sin, but became sin for you and I, we might be made the righteous of God in him. When he died at Calvary and gave up the ghost, the veil was rent from top to bottom, signifying the way had been made in the holiest of holies by the new and the living way, which he, that's Jesus, has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. You're saved, thank God for that, by grace through faith, and that not of yourself, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I've got none to boast about so far as myself is concerned. I'm a wretched sinner, a sinner saved by grace. Now I'm no longer imputed, or I can't sin as either is counted against me. That's already been eradicated and done away with. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree, but still I have the capability of falling to sin. That is, this old human flesh of mine. Inside me, I've got a new nature, divine nature, God in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Bible said that spirits of just men made perfect. My inside wasn't clean. Of course, it's sanctified and cleansed by the blood. He couldn't abide there. The seed remained. The Bible said, and he cannot sin. That's the Lord Jesus, the seed of faith. I was born again, not of a corrupt seed, but an incorrupt seed, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. I was born, thank God, with a new nature, a divine nature, God in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. If you get to heaven, you'll have to experience the new birth. And it doesn't come by water baptism, joining up with a church, case of the do better, turning over a new leaf, or the case of the feel goods of feeling better. Brother, you can do a lot of things to make you feel better, and a lot do good things any time. And if you're not so stony in heart, it'll make you feel good inside that you've done something out of your heart because you've done it out of an act of charity. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that won't justify you. Nothing good can you do to obtain the salvation. Well, if that were possible, then he died a vain death. There is no other way. There's no way, no other name under heaven given among men whereby all the world must be saved. He's a must. He's a necessity. And you can only get to heaven through the blood of his cross. Outside the shedding of the blood, the Bible said, and outside the blood, there is no redemption, no salvation. There is no forgiveness of sin whatsoever. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, cleanses us from all sin. Every sin ever committed, for I got saved. For God was placed under the blood of Jesus Christ, put in God's seal of forgiveness, never to be brought his remembrance anymore. Thank God has forgiven and forgotten, and under the blood, never will I ever have to answer to God for those things I've done as a sinner. Thank God they're under the blood, and it made me a brand new man, a new creature, a new creation. Operate on me the operation of faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You just can't hear the word of God just from anybody. It takes somebody who's got the word of God living inside of them. That is somebody who's experienced a new birth. Somebody that knows him personally, not just knows about about him, but knows him with a personal relationship. Now, I knew about him all my life. As a young fella, I've told it many times, but a young boy, teenager, young man, I knew Jesus was the Son of God. I've never doubted that. My mama told me about him, and I knew there was something special about his name. I knew he was the Son of God. I knew he died for my sins. I knew God raised him from the dead. But you see, I didn't know him as my personal Savior, but I got acquainted with him when I was 23 years old. And he done something inside of me when I yielded myself and gave up myself, surrendered myself. That's what he meant when he said, if any man is going to be my disciple, you're going to get saved. But you've got to deny yourself, that is, give up yourself, submit yourself to the will of God, and give your life to him. And, of course, ask him to have mercy upon you and forgive you of your sin. Come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. When you get that way, beloved, the work's done, the price is paid, the way it's made, and, beloved, you can be accepted into the beloved by the new and the living way which Jesus, that Jesus has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, died the death of a sinner, yet he knew no sin, but became sin. Thank God, for you and I might be made in the righteousness of God in him. But if you're not saved this afternoon, my prayer to God for you is that you will be saved. I'm talking about saved from sin, not saved from some tragedy or from some circumstance or some problem. I'm not talking about that. We're dealing with and talking about salvation. Salvation, the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast. It's free, paid for, and full. You just got to come as it gives you an invitation. And nobody can come to the Father except by the Son and Spirit of God. Beloved, he's got to draw them. He's got to deal with you. He's got to speak to you. How did he do that? Well, he does it through his word. His word, beloved, the variance of the word giveth light. There is no substitute for the preaching of the word of God. The Bible says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing it by the word of God. You cannot, will not get saved if the word of God been preached to you, sent down, beloved, by the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot get saved without that. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. My preaching will be void and of no effect whatsoever in a positive way, that is, as far as it reaching down to your soul. You see, if you're unsaved, you're unregenerate, although you may be a church member, you may have good intentions, and I know there's a lot of folk like that. Let me tell you something. I'm not opposed to you. I'm for you. I hope you'll get saved. I really do. I don't want you to wind up a poor, pitiful, lost church member all your life and think everything's lovely when you're missing something on the inside, and finally you wake up when you lift up your eyes in hell. Don't die in sin. Go to hell. Just a poor, pitiful, lost church member. You don't have to. Jesus died as your substitute. He paid the price. Beloved, you've got to know him personally, not just know about him. But when you get saved, it'll make a difference. I guarantee you that it will. When I got saved, nobody had to tell me about stopping my smoking, my cussing, my gambling, my drinking. They don't like that. It quit me. The desire to do that, beloved, left me. They put up new desire in me, a new nature in me, a divine nature in me, God in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And for almost 45 years now, beloved, next month will be 45 wonderful years I've been saved and, thank God, transformed and saved by the marvelous grace of God and made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away and all things have been new to me ever since. How wonderful it is to be born again, to know him as you personal shape. And now a lot of folk, most of the world that's heard about him has a God-given conscience. Everybody does, if they're not hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, beloved, and carried on like fools and get stiff-necked and hard-hearted. If they're this open-minded, they know there's something special about his name. And they believe he's the Son of God. Anybody with good common sense that's been hardened by Satan believes he's the Son of God, but they don't know him as their personal Savior. And that's all the world of difference, beloved. You've got to yield yourself and give yourself. He's not going to make you, beloved. He's not going to beat you down. He's not going to run you over you, beloved, and trample you and choke you to death to get you to get saved. That we're free moral beings. That's the image of God. We have the right to make choices. In the very beginning, Adam and Eve made, of course, bad choices. He chose to rebel against God and take the forbidden fruit, beloved. And her eyes were open. She saw she was naked, and Adam followed her like manner, beloved, and they fell to sin. And we're shaping iniquity and born in sin because of Adam's Adamic, but of course, sinful shape or nature that was in him, beloved, that was exposed in him, being of the blood of Adam and the seed of Adam, beloved, were sinners by birth, beloved. But sin's not imputed. You reach that age of accountability, and when you do, sin imputed, and you better start making a good choice. You better choose to serve him and to know him as your personal Savior. If you don't do that, you're going to wind up an eternal loser. sir. You wind up lifting up your eyes in a burning place of eternal torment and damnation in a fire that's unquenchable. Well, the fire, brother, won't ever go out. The smoke of the torment of a second death, you only have to die once in Adam because of sin. You don't have to taste of a second death. He died the death of a sinner and became your substitute. And, brother, if you repent of your sins and get saved, get your sin of the blood, you'll never have to face that second death. That's an eternal death. That's a place where the fire will be unquenchable, a place where the smoke will atone, the second death will ascend up over heaven. There'll be no rest day nor night. Don't go to hell. Jesus died and went to hell for you. The Bible said he didn't suffer his Holy One to see corruption, nor lift his soul in hell, brother, but he got up from the dead. The third day, thank God, he got up from the dead. Up from the grave he arose. He arose a victor over the dark domain. He lives forever and he reigns. He's the ruling and the reigning Christ, brother. And he died at the death of a sinner and died in your place and in my place. And he is our substitute. He made the propitiation and the atonement for our sin. He died the death of a sinner, yet he knew no sin, became sin for you and I, that might be made the righteousness of God in him. He wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to be saved. He proved that wanting, that desire, that love, that compassion when he died, of course, an awful death. The Bible said, Isaiah said, he was bruised for iniquities, and the chastisement of peace was upon him. The Bible said, Isaiah said, his vices was marred more than the sons of men. Nobody's ever been beat and bruised and battered and slaughtered like him, like a slaughtered lamb, like a butchered lamb, dumb before a shepherd, brother. He opened out his mouth. He was a slaughtered lamb, a suffering servant. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Psalmist David said in Psalm 22, brother, the bulls of Bashan are compassionate round about, the dogs there, brother, and they look on him in whom they pierce. Of course, the Bible said his tongue clave to his root, to the root of his jaw, brother, down to his mouth. He was dried up, the street was dried up like a potsherd. Couldn't even lift up his tongue, brother. His heart busted, like it said, like wax and water when it's melted, and run in the midst of his bowels, bleeding on every portion out of his wounds that they beat him with, brother, out of his rectum, out of his eyes, everything where of his body. His blood was poured out of him where they bruised him, where they beat him. He was bruised for iniquities, and the chastisement of peace, the Bible said, was and is upon him. For by his stripes only, by what he was enduring for you and I, beloved, what he suffered for you and I, that's the only way we can get that, but not by what we do, but what he done. He is the atonement for our sin. He's the propitiation for our sin. He that knew no sin, thank God, became sin for you and I, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If you want to be made right or righteous, if you want to go to heaven, you'll have to come in, brother, through the door. Jesus is the door. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody come to the Father but by him. Church membership won't do it. I'm a Baptist preacher, but I'm ashamed of those Baptists. Most Baptists need the Lord, and most other denominations do as well. They're just lost and fictitious and phony. I would to God they're real, but they're not. They've given over to filthy lucre. They've gone after dollar, after prestige, after notoriety, trying to look good, trying to sound good, impress people. God have mercy. Let the people perish and go to hell. I've got no time to act like a fool, nor live like a fool. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. God called me. God saved me. God put me into the ministry, brother. Now I'm preaching. I can't help but to preach. The Bible said to preach the word of God, the instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and sound doctrine, for the time has already come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they hate themselves teachers, having itching ears. We're in that era, beloved. Perilous time and dangerous time, and Jesus is coming real soon. I hope you'll get prepared. Hope you'll repent of your sins. Hope you'll be born again. Hope you'll come to know him as your personal Savior. I see my time is just about gone. Write to us, pray for us, and God bless you is our prayer in his name. Amen.